Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of iGel Weekly. I'm your host on this podcast, Andy Whiteside. I've got with me Chris Feeney. Chris is going to be my guest co-host on a weekly basis as we look into the world of iGel and figure out what iGel's up to, what their customers are up to, and where they're going with the company and the technology. Chris, how's it going?
It's going well, Andy. It's always good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me. I look forward to it.
Yeah, and I'm excited about doing this. This is a long time in the making. We've got the Citrix podcast, the VMware podcast, the WVD podcast, but these EUC solutions, these are what I call asynchronous solutions. You got to have an endpoint, and that's where iGel comes in as a very secure, very manageable, very distributable type of endpoint running a Linux operating system. And we're going to cover all sides of the equation.
Yeah, no, I think that's the key thing. I mean, we've been doing this a long time, and I think really the piece that often maybe is forgotten in all the technology discussion is end user. It starts there, and that's the one thing that I've learned over years and years of trying to implement these. You have to take into account what is that experience going to be from the get-go, and it must be somebody that maybe isn't necessarily technology savvy, but if it's a great experience at the beginning, the technology behind it. They don't really care. They just want it to work. Yeah. And so that's kind of always been my mantra is start with the end user and then, the rest of it, we'll figure it out. So
I've got a good story that kind of level set me back in the early 2000s, I guess, as to where the endpoint and how it matters. But I kind of want to throw this idea out in front of you. Here's the crazy thing about what we're going to be talking about in this podcast. You and I and iGel and other systems admins out there, we are trying to get users to consume, x86 applications running on Windows, maybe presented seamlessly or as part of desktop look and feel UI. What we're really talking about on the iGel side is we're trying to get end users, unbeknownst to them, to use Linux at the endpoint. That's kind of crazy if you think about it. The idea you take the average employee and have them use Linux.
Yeah, I mean, I think about my first venture into IT when I was trying to understand networking. I was in working for a defense contractor, and I was basically being forced to learn IT. Didn't really know much about it. Didn't study computer science or anything, and my first foray was trying to install Red Hat from floppy disks, and it was a terrible experience for me. I just didn't know much, and I was like, I wouldn't want to wish Linux on anybody.
Right.
Here we are years later, and it's amazing just the capabilities and the flexibility that it has. And we talk about it to the companies that are selling it, but the user, does a doctor, does a lawyer really care? They just want it to make it look. I know Pete does a great job of making, maybe the endpoint look like Windows, but it's really Linux, and that's the beauty of it. You can skin this thing however you want.
Well, it's all about making it something usable, something that gives a good user experience and something they're comfortable with. And that's what I would applaud iGel for. You guys have really done a good job of understanding that it needs to be part of the solution. It needs to be user-friendly. It needs to be very manageable. It needs to be secure. And it needs to continue to evolve rapidly, which I think that's the big differentiator between you guys and the other ones, the other thin client operating systems, is that you're rapidly keeping up with where this space is going versus some of the other competitors that have build a solution and then just kind of stayed on top of that one firmware for years even.
Yeah.
You guys are rapidly evolving around the end user in this EUC space.
Yeah, some would argue or say even too fast in some cases, right? But the reality is this space is moving so quickly, and certainly there's external events that are sort of forcing that issue. And I began to see this change to more rapid, development several years ago when I switched into a PM role. It was around the time that both Citrix and VMware had started out to these quarterly releases. And all of a sudden, it was just trying to keep up with every quarter. They were coming out with something new and innovative and just staying on top of that. Fast forward, here we are, and iGel is certainly keeping up with that. As new Citrix stuff or VMware stuff comes out, we're not far behind in getting it into the system and making it available.
And at the same time, you guys are doing a good job, as good as you can, with the rapid adoption in the space and the evolution in the space of allowing people to, you know, take their time moving forward, right? Everybody doesn't have to jump to the latest, greatest every single time. In the same conversation, though, if they want Chromium baked into the operating system, which I do, if I want the Zoom offloading client to be baked into the iGel operating system, which I do, then you got to move forward. And that's just the blessing and the curse of this rapid technology space that we're involved in.
Yeah, what I've generally seen there is, you know, we'll have a major release where they'll mark it as that's the one going forward where this new stuff will be made available. But then generally, what I've also seen is sometimes they'll backport it to maybe a slightly older version so customers don't necessarily have to make that big leap. I mean, for us, our biggest release, you know, this year was 11.04, which came out. And the big thing there was, you know, we're talking about Linux. We updated the Linux kernel. So the Linux kernel gets updated on a regular basis and, you know, supports new hardware and various things. And we took that and we kind of took what we needed from it and baked it into the OS. We also based it on a new Ubuntu version that's been out for LTSR or LTS or whatever you want to call it. You know, that leap, you know, there are definitely some things where, you know, can we backport it to this older version and make it work, or is it only on the new version going forward? And so you're going to face those situations. I think as we round the corner into 2021, we'll see less of that. But yeah, there's a lot of innovation. It's hard to keep up sometimes because I know on the roadmap, Teams optimization is coming out for Horizon here in the next quarter. You can already do stuff there with regular RTAV. I mean, VDI for Zoom is already in there. So there's a lot that you can do now, but it's exciting to be part of a company that stays on top of that stuff, keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
Let's take that conversation and take a minute just to highlight for those that are new to iGel and maybe listening to us. iGel is a software company that creates an operating system based off the Linux kernel that then gets used in the Ubuntu operating system and then gets further customized by iGel to be enterprise and user friendly. Is that a fair way to talk about iGel, the software company?
Yeah, I think that's a good way. You look at the Linux landscape, there's multiple distributions out there. Based on various branches, right? You generally, the branches are Debian, Ubuntu-based. You've got Red Hat as well, and those are sort of the key ones. There's many more that are out there, but we've basically taken that Debian Ubuntu path, and you know that's sort of what we use as a base. But we've iGelized it, if you will. I mean, it's almost just like Red Hat has their version. We've kind of make it the iGel Linux version. And we've customized it so that it can be managed at an enterprise level, locked down out of the gate, and then obviously customized as you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to your conversation a while ago about installing Red Hat Linux, I'll tell you my story real quick on that one. Probably 2001, 2002 timeframe. Before I even go into that one, I'll tell you the story I tell my kids all the time. I was working in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I was a courier, and I walked into this apartment. For some reason in my head, I remember it as a trailer, but I walked into some type of apartment to pick up packages from this little company called Red Hat. And I asked them what they did, and they told me, and in hindsight, it makes a lot of sense, this operating system. But at the time, it didn't really resonate with me. And they kind of offered me a job. I think I would have been like employee number 4, 5, or 6, something like that. And I said, you know, I wasn't interested in getting into technology. I thought that stuff was boring. So I was telling my kids that story the other day. We were watching, and this really says a lot about me maybe. My kids and I were watching a documentary. I forget what it's called, around Linux. And I told them that story while we were watching the documentary. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, they talked to the Red Hat founders, and they talked about starting an apartment in Raleigh, North Carolina, or Research Triangle Park, whatever it was. And I was like, see, that's it. That's the apartment I walked in. I had a chance to be a Linux guy in, you know, late 90s, and I totally screwed it up. And I'm still wanting to be a Linux guy. But to bring that story back to the point here, the first time I installed Red Hat was probably 2000, 2001 timeframe, just like you did, on a bunch of floppy disks onto an old Dell PC. And I got it up and running, and the first thing I did was install the remote desktop RPM so I could remote into a Windows box and do my job. and then from there I created Nopix CDs and integrated with Citrix and that kind of craziness. But long story short, my first touch of Linux was really just to get it up and running so I could remote back into Windows. And here we are in 2020 with iGel and creating an enterprise-worthy solution to do exactly the same thing and leverage the beauty and cost-effectiveness and security of Linux on the endpoint just to remote back into Windows and you know, get work done.
Yeah, I was thinking there's not much new under the sun these days. I mean, it does kind of come back, but you know, the thing about the workspace, right? We were talking earlier, you know, craziness of trying to think about Linux for the user, but I think about just sort of the leaps and bounds that applications, right? I mean, that's really, I was thinking about what made the iPad, what made Apple really kind of leap ahead. And it was the App Store, the apps itself. They had a platform. And then it's just people started developing and putting apps. And next thing you know, companies began porting their stuff to a mobile experience. And then, of course, continuing to innovate and making it really user-friendly. And that type of thing, to the point where you're doing mobile banking and very, you know, all kinds of stuff, travel, I mean, all that. And I think about, you know, I'm so used to a Windows desktop, a Outlook installed app or PowerPoint or whatever. But lately I've sort of been forcing myself to use just a browser to work in a lot of that stuff and kind of gauge that user experience. And to be honest, I'm tempted a lot to click the open in desktop app, but I'm forcing myself not to do that and really kind of use that browser and get a sense in it. And honestly, it's not bad at all. I mean, it's great. yeah. You know, things have come way down the road. So I'm excited about the future, certainly. And iGel's certainly staying on top of where space, you know, the space is.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. Cause okay. So, so much to talk about. So, there's a guy used to live here in Charlotte named Robert Morris. He may or may not listen to this podcast. I'm going to tell him cause I gave him some homage here. Robert helped me install Citrix for the second time, way back in the day. And he told me a little story while we were doing it about how Microsoft was smart and Novell was not smart. Novell maybe had a better infrastructure solution, a better system management solution, but Microsoft knew that you got applications to run on their operating system. Therefore, it would win out in the long run because applications are, you know, the center of it all. That's how Microsoft outflanked Novell. Mm-hmm. And we have this Linux conversation where Linux never really did that, right? They never really looked for the end user application space to be their the thing they competed around and won.
Right.
And so that never happened. Now, in 2000 or so, Internet Explorer 6 came out, and I was told at that time that you would no longer have applications, you would just have a browser, and everything would be browser-based, and it'd be based on Internet Explorer 6. Well, truth is, some of that happened, but not a lot of it happened. Some happened. Some enterprise apps. I actually went and took a .NET programming class right then and learned how to create apps for Internet Explorer 6. But long story short, iGel just put the Chromium engine, into the operating system because I believe, as you just pointed out, we are finally at a world where we've reached that tipping point where enough applications are now browser-based. That taking a Linux operating system, forget about having Citrix or VMware, or anything middleware. That's coming in a lot of cases, but not necessarily not a necessity. Now we have a browser, a very capable Mozilla as well as a Chrome browser inside the iGel operating system. You guys are probably seeing a lot of your clients just move straight to browser-based applications from a secure managed Linux endpoint, aka iGel, and they can solve a lot of challenges just by leveraging that, right?
Yeah. I mean, throw in some two-factor auth and, you know, I've worked with end-to-end customers, partners as they're pulling up and they're using just a browser, log in, authenticate, you know, usually it's some kind of soft token push thing or notification, whatever gets them in. And then whether it's just accessing O365 or Microsoft 365, I mean, the versions of those apps that are browser-based are pretty darn good, and they get updated as often as they need to. The end user may notice something, but generally speaking, I mean, they're pretty fast, and you've got the infrastructure now that can handle, you know, pushing those things out and rapid deployment. And so, and we've got stories where, you know, maybe your on-prem infrastructure was not available, but the browser based, you know, and so from a business continuity, you know, what did you need? Well, I just need to get into email and maybe a few other things, and that platform exists because it's hosted in the cloud. Companies aren't sitting there, you know, struggling because they can't get to a virtual desktop that might be on-prem when really it's the apps that they need to get to do their job.
I pretty much use a thin client operating system all day, every day. The only time I jump onto my my laptop running Windows is when I want to run VMware Workstation so I can do some work in my lab. That's it. That's right now, that's the only time I use a full-blown Windows operating system versus some type of browser-based solution.
Yeah.
I did want to highlight I had a couple topics there, but the one I wanted to go back to that I mentioned earlier, I got lucky. I worked with a very unreasonable, I'll use the word ignorant, but I don't mean ignorant as a derogatory. I mean ignorant as not knowing, CIO in the early, mid-2000s, 2005, 2006 timeframe. I was working for Citrix at the time. I went and met with a CIO that I really needed him to understand app delivery, desktop virtualization, VDI, server desktops, whatever was the solution that he needed to understand. But he had his head wrapped around the endpoint. And all he wanted to talk about was thin client, thin client, thin client. And after about the third time of meeting with him, I finally just gave in and we started talking about enabling thin clients to work. And the truth was it was going to be, you know, a Windows delivered solution through Citrix that was going to be the answer for him. But that made me realize that at some point you can't convince some people that the endpoint is not the center of it. Therefore, if that's where their head is at, you've got to go help them be the best they can at an endpoint centric solution. And that got me, brainwashed into the idea that, you know, of you've got to understand the endpoint part of the conversation. And sometimes you even lead with it. And that's exactly what you guys are doing in a lot of conversations and meeting with clients. You're either solving the solution with the endpoint, or I bet in some cases you are the solution and then you're tying the rest of it together. Would you say you're seeing that?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think, you know, having been in the space for a long time, right, and having to sometimes play Mr. Switzerland, right, depending on, you know, who I was working with at the time, you know, one of the things that it really comes down to is adoption. You know, the end user experience is key to that. And if you can control what that user experience is like versus maybe a BYOD model where, you know, it's flexibility, use it whatever you want, but are you managing what that user experience is like on the endpoint, you know, in that scenario? You know, if you're not, you know, you're probably going to see an increase in help desk calls or confusion or whatever. And how many training materials do you need? I'm seeing this certainly, and my wife's a teacher, and the IT strategy that they've used for their students or parent, they don't really have an endpoint, you know, strategy in a sense of, you know, a common endpoint, be it a Windows laptop, Mac, whatever, to the point where I probably need to go have a meeting with them, bring you along, right?
Be careful. You get stuck into that one.
That's right. But, you know, I mean, they adopted Teams, you know, rather quickly in the COVID scenario. And that, you know, I was talking to my wife last night, you know, it's not so much for her, the technology at this point, they've kind of gotten used to it. But she deals with when kids are submitting assignments, you know, it's a mishmash of what they're sending it on. And, you know, being able to control that user experience with a common endpoint OS that you can manage, just consistency, I mean, less headaches, all the benefits. And so that's, and then of course, being cloud agnostic, we're not necessarily tied you to specifically to a cloud solution, be it Citrix or Horizon or whatever. You kind of have whatever you want and the flexibility.
Office 365.
Or just a browser, right, yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're saying that we should challenge ourselves, and I'm sorry I didn't think about this ahead of time. We should challenge ourselves to do as many of these podcasts as possible with both of us using, you know, UD Pocket with Chromium, and just, you know, use cloud-based services, which I'm using right now to record and do this podcast. We should make that our little gimmick. Hey, we use UD Pocket's USB boot into Linux operating system managed by Agile. That should be part of our shtick.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sitting here looking at a couple of my iGel devices, a brand new UD3, for example, and I'm gonna force myself for like an entire week just to use it. I just got access to a new, you know, demo environment, and kind of, you know, begin using that. So I think next week when we do this, that's my goal. I'll use the RingCentral web browser or whatever we need to do.
Yeah,
the recording.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got everything that we do for this podcast is going to be web browser based. There's no reason why we can't choose whatever operating system we want at any point in time and use multiple operating systems for that matter, including iGel. Yeah. So, Chris, let's wrap this up a little bit. You and I are going to have a hard time because we're going to have basically 45 minutes to do the podcast, and we could talk for an hour and a half about this kind of stuff. And then whoever the guest we bring on, we could be 3 hours. We'll probably have to hold ourselves accountable for not going on too long, and that's a good and bad thing, right? So let's just recap the idea of this podcast. What we're going to do, just like with all my other podcasts, we're going to go out to iGel. We're going to find blogs that we find interesting. We're going to go reach out to that author, and we're going to ask them to join us, and we're going to talk through their blog and what they were covering in the blog, and then we'll dive deeper, and who knows, we'll chase some rabbits here and there, but that'll be good. Hopefully the listeners will get value out of that as well.
I agree. We've already got a good guest list lined up for the next few. As we turn the corner of 2021, that will be an ever-increasing list, so stay tuned for more. I think our next recording is next Tuesday, right? I think.
The goal is to do it every week. Vacations and things will get in the way. I may have a vacation. You may have a vacation, but we'll do everything we can just to keep it rolling and get the content out there. And, people can listen to us while they walk the dog and hopefully gain some insight. I do want to highlight something that I talk about in every podcast I have, which is 50% or more of the reason the podcast exists is because it's a great way for me personally to consume the knowledge and talk to the author. And I get to learn a lot while doing these. And the goal here is just to share it with the community and hopefully that reaps benefits for all of us along the way.
Yeah. One thing, if you don't mind, just some statistics to kind of wrap up, because, probably some people are, getting to know iGel or even Linux in general, but I wanted to kind of throw some stats that I found just earlier this year when I was trying to, have conversations and people coming from a Windows-centric world, if you will. So in 2019, 100% of the world's supercomputers run on Linux. The top 25 websites in the world, only two weren't using Linux. 90% is probably has gone up of all cloud infrastructure is operating on Linux, and all the cloud hosts are using it. Microsoft, as you know, has embraced Linux, which is, a far cry from probably 10 years ago when you think about it. But, Linux is much more friendly than it used to be. And hopefully by joining us here on this podcast, you'll get more comfortable with it. And certainly we'll give you an opportunity to try it out.
Chris, I want to set you up on something here. What percentage of endpoints run Linux?
That's a good question. So if I scroll down the endpoint, let's see if I saw it in here. It's still a Windows-centric endpoint world. Let me see if Linux is the OS of 1.63% of all desktop operating systems worldwide.
All right, so it's our job, mine and yours, to turn that into 2%. That's the goal of this podcast.
That's right. We're getting ready to 2, maybe 3. We'll see. I'll see if. I'll give you, here's a link if you can take a look at this, but I thought it was pretty interesting. But yeah, let's hopefully we can make an impact in the world.
Well, while you're saying that, there's an organization here locally, which is a great organization, where they take used computers and put Windows on them, historically Windows 7, but now Windows 10, and they give those back to people in the community with admin rights. And as much as I love the concept of that, in fact, I'm doing something similar with a Linux operating system. As much as I love the concept of redistributing those to organizations, people in need, the idea that I'm handing somebody something with Windows on it, with admin rights, scares the heck out of me. One, within 6 months, it's going to be junked up with all kinds of garbage. And the amount of malware that's probably building up on those things, I just could not bring myself to do it. So in my world, I do it with Linux because I give them Linux. I give them a browser. I don't give them that beautiful, magical operating system of Windows, which it is, but is so attacked and so leveraged by the hackers out there that it's almost like you're doing somebody this justice by giving them, by doing a favor for them. That's why we got to make that Linux number go up.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, when your workspace is not having to run locally, you can access it from anywhere. I mean, hopefully that will increase adoption. So this has been great, Andy. I'm looking forward to more of these. And again, appreciate the invite. We're excited about our next big guest.
What do we have? We have Jim Erdo coming up. We have Doug Brown. We have Carl Gersh. And we're going to reach out to people all across the IGEL world and get them to talk about their blogs with us. And you know, if the community wants us to do certain blogs, certain topics, then, yeah, let us know.
Awesome. Great. We look forward to those suggestions, and I'm excited about the future here with these podcasts. So thanks, man.
Chris, thanks for joining. We'll have the first real episode next week.
All right. Take care.